KBLA 1580 Santa Monica.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. Over 16,000 pounds of ground beef is being recalled due to possible E. coli contamination. On Wednesday, the USDA announced the recalled beef was shipped to Walmart stores nationwide. Defective beef is from the company Cargill Meat Solutions, and Pacific Recall products can be found online. The state of Maryland has awarded a wrongly convicted black man $3 million for the 31 years he spent in prison before being exonerated. 63-year-old Gary Washington was released from prison in 2018. The city state's attorney's office dismissed the charges against him in 2019, and a circuit court judge later vacated Washington's convictions. The black police chief in Tulsa, Oklahoma is stepping down. Police Chief Wendell Franklin has announced he will retire from the department effective July 31st. He's taking a job in the private sector as a director and corporate security. He says it's the perfect fit for him. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wayne on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Hey, it's Dean Sharp. How does 3 months of free electricity and a lifetime of energy savings sound? Well, it's yours when you go solar with Sunlux. Learn more at sunlux.com, sunlux.com.
KBLA Talk 1580 is the fastest growing talk radio station in Southern California, home to 50,000 watts and an audience reach of 12 million listeners. KBLA Talk 1580 is a pioneer for black audio content, including our groundbreaking $2 million climate justice campaign and the most loyal, influential audience. According to an independent research study by the polling firm Iveterus, for the second consecutive year, KBLA Talk 1580 is the most trustworthy, reliable, and credible news source for black audiences and beyond in Southern California. Let KBLA Talk 1580 power your advertising dollars. Our omni-channel custom marketing solutions are specifically tailored to connect with your ideal target audience. We leverage audio, podcasts, streaming, digital, social media, and local activations to get your message out to the black community. Get in touch with our advertising team today at advertising@KBLA1580.com. That's advertising@KBLA1580.com. KBLA 1580, we've got you black.
The views and opinions expressed and resources shared on this program are strictly informational and should not be substituted for medical advice or evaluation.
I told you I don't need to talk to nobody.
My daughter's losing weight. She sleeps all the time and has terrible moods.
My drinking ain't the problem. You nagging me is the problem.
Problems and pressure are at the backdrop of everyday life, impacting our physical, mental, and spiritual health. But where are the solutions? And who is concerned about the family? The Urban Family. Presenting Urban Family Focus, hosted by Reverend Gerald Smith, here on KBLA Talk 1580.
KBLA Talk 1580 congregation. This is Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor, and you're listening to Urban Family Focus. We're that show that talks about those subjects that don't get talked about quite enough in a lot of households. Things like addiction, mental illness, health and wellness, conflict resolution, financial literacy, and grief. It affects the urban family. We bring attention to it and provide resources and answers to all your questions about it. Our goal is to make sure, as always, when you get up with us early on a Saturday morning, that you catch that worm of wisdom, opportunity, resources, and motivation to live your best life. Speaking of living your best life, our word for the week says this: it's far too easy for investors to lose perspective. Whenever something big goes wrong, a lot of people panic and sell their investments. Looking at history, the market recovered from the 2008 financial crisis, the dot-com crash, and even the Great Depression, so they'll probably get through whatever comes next as well. With a good perspective on history, we can better understand the past and the present, and thus a clear vision for the future. That comes from Carlos Slim He Liu. We've got a lot to talk about this morning on KBLA Talk 1580. And on the first Saturday of each month, we present BWARP Live, the Black Wealth Attainment and Retention Program. This is a financial literacy discussion designed to help stem the erosion of wealth among Black families, sharing concepts and strategies that help communities attain, sustain, and pass down legacy wealth. Be Worth is produced by Parkside Economic Development Corporation to help shape the future by serving the community as a viable, effective resource, enabling citizens to achieve greater social, economic parity, and realize a higher quality of life. Our topic today is Invest in Yourself, Not by Yourself. And helping us navigate through the world of investing is Justin B. Lacey, Senior Vice President, Wealth Management Advisor at Merrill Lynch. Justin has been designing strategies to help individuals, families, and businesses enhance, preserve, and transition their wealth with Merrill Lynch since 2017. Mr. Lacey graduated magna cum laude from the University of Southern California, where he double majored in business administration and accounting. He holds designations as certified financial planner, certified public accountant, certified private wealth advisor, and accredited wealth management advisor. Justin is a member of the B of A executive leadership team and Merrill Lynch Black American Leadership Council. I guess you understand by now, we have a heavy young brother with us this morning. Justin, welcome back to Urban Family Focus.
Hey, Reverend Gerald, it's awesome to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Man, you know, it's been a while, maybe a year or two since we've talked, but I've noticed that when you came on the show the first time, you were vice president, resident director, which I thought was a big step for a young brother, and now you're a senior VP. So tell us how that transition happened, and then we're going to go into why you advocate using wise counsel with investment strategies.
Well, part of it might have been because I picked up a few extra gray hairs from the past 2 years.
Okay.
But mostly because I've been super blessed and fortunate to have a business that's continued to grow over the past 2 years that allowed me to be able to work with more families and be able to, you know, elevate my game, be able to do more for more people. And from that, my recognition title changed.
And within the organization, this is just my little curiosity. How many like you do we have?
Ooh, I don't have that number, but it's not that many. It's
okay.
A very, very low percentage of us.
I didn't think so. Well, you know, we're talking about, you know, investing, and that's a word that means a lot to a lot of people, and it's a word that some people kind of just shy away from because they assume that at their income level, there's no reason for them to think about it. So when you talk about investing in yourself, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we're talking about, you know, investing in yourself in a financial sense, I think about that twofold. I think about investing in yourself in terms of financial knowledge, but also investing in yourself in terms of your financial network, right? So let me dissect that.
Right.
Financial knowledge is, hey, like, let me go ahead and understand as much as I possibly can about how to invest. Let me do research and look online and look at Google, look at YouTube, shoot, now even like look at ChatGPT, right? So I can learn more about what I can be doing financially, right? But the thing is about all those sites is that nothing is going to be specific to your exact financial position. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need your financial network. That's why you need to have the contacts of competent financial advisors, CPAs, realtors, mortgage lenders, right? Credit specialists, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're the ones that have seen so many different financial positions, so many situations that you can be able to talk to and will give you advice specific to your situation. You won't get that online. So you really need to have that network of folks that mm-hmm. know you, like you, willing to invest in you and give you advice so you can be in the best position to move forward and make informed decisions.
Gotcha. So basically, even though you work for Merrill Lynch, which is one of the big boys in the industry, you don't ever position yourself as a one-stop shop. When you meet with people, you want to make sure they have the team that goes with you to make sure that every I gets dotted and T gets crossed as they move forward with their plan.
Exactly, right? Because, you know, all the elements of your financial life all touch each other, right? The things that you're doing from an investment standpoint affect the things you do from an estate planning standpoint, which affects the things you do from a tax planning standpoint. So it's important that one person has a team, and it's important that that team is being coordinated by professionals that make sure that everyone is rowing in the right direction so the client's in the best position.
So there's a lot of people who are listening to this discussion and just a lot of people in general who, you know, they understand what investing can do for them. But they also may think that because of their financial position, that it's not something they should get into, that they should just stay away, go to work, pay their bills, maybe save a dollar or two and not look at investing at all. I personally think that everybody can invest in something. You know, we talk to a lot of young people, high schoolers, you know, instead of just buying a Nike, buy one share of stock in Nike. You know what I'm saying? You know, because, you know, you pay $300 for some tennis shoes. You know, you could buy a share. So what do you say to people who have that, you know, it's not for me.
Yeah.
Attitude.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point, I think most people have the ability to be able to start, you know, investing, right? And maybe you don't have a lot of discretionary income, right? But if you can be able to find a way to put a couple hundred dollars or a few thousand dollars away, depending on your cash flow mm-hmm. and your situation, there are products out there that can earn a higher return than just keeping that money in the bank. Right. So talking to a financial advisor to understand what that looks like is important. Right. And to consider all the different elements in terms of, you know, when you have expenses and what type of access to the capital you need and what type of risk you're willing to take, they can help you flesh through that. But, you know, I do think that there is usually a lane and opportunity for most people to invest, especially with all the different new, you know, things out there for to be able to help folks in that way.
All right. So we're going to continue this conversation, investing in yourself, you know. And I'm happy. You don't know how happy I am because, you know, when I see a young brother doing it, you know, it makes us old brothers, you know, just feel good and that we did lay a trail for something good to happen. And we got Justin B. Lacey with us, who is a senior vice president and wealth manager at Merrill Lynch. We come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
Healthy wife, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580. Talk 1580. Hi, it's Tavis Smiley. First, thank you for your support of KBLA Talk 1580. We deeply appreciate you. So, I get asked all the time, Tavis, when are you going to bring back that State of the Black Union symposium you used to do? You know the one where you had all those black intellectuals on stage every year and everybody watched all day live on C-SPAN? Yeah, I know the one.
Let's bring them back.
Well, I am pleased to tell you that if you go to KBLA1580.com right now, you can sign up to be in the audience here in Los Angeles when we go back live on C-SPAN with a stage full of black thinkers and influencers for a historic conversation. America has never seen a stage full of black folk talking about the urgency of now. Climate justice, climate equity, climate resilience. It's going down Tuesday, June 18th, 4 to 7 p.m. at the California Science Center in Exposition Park. Admission is free, but you must register at KBLA1580.com. Once we reach capacity, you'll have to watch us on C-SPAN. But if you want to be in the room when we go live from Los Angeles Tuesday, June 18th, head to KBLA1580.com right now to reserve your seat. Caring about the climate, caring about the community. We're KBLA Talk 1580. We've got your black.
I'm a leap up there. Hey!
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and moisturizes deep into my skin with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
What's wrong?
My travel rewards card didn't earn enough miles for my vacation.
Are you crying? Are you crying because of that other credit card?
Uh-huh.
Well, switch to the Capital One Venture card. Venture lets you redeem miles on any travel purchase.
Really?
Yep, and you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every single day. The Capital One Venture card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Substance use disorder and addiction is so isolating. And so as a black woman in recovery, hope must be loud. It grows louder when you ask for help and you're vulnerable. It is the thread that lets you know that no matter what happens, you will be okay.
When we learn the power of hope, recovery is possible. Find out how at startwithhope.com.
Brought to you by the National Council for Mental Wellbeing, Shatterproof, and the Ad Council.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back to Urban Family Focus. I'm Reverend Gerald, life coach and addiction counselor. And we're having a conversation this morning with Justin Lacey, who's a senior VP at Merrill Lynch. And we're talking about investing in yourself, but not by yourself. And this is one of our first Saturday conversations that we call BWARP Live, a financial literacy program that's designed by Parkside EDC to help us attain, sustain, and pass down legacy wealth. And if you have a question about investing or any financial question, the number to call is 800-920-1580. That's 800-920-1580. I highly encourage you to take advantage of this brother who's sitting here, because otherwise you're going to have to drive to Orange County to go see him. So, you know, one of the things that you know, when we talk about investing, and I know a lot of times we feel that as a community, we don't have the resources to invest. But the truth of the matter is, Black American communities represent 14% of this nation's population. But we're growing constantly in purchasing power. And right now we have $1.3 trillion of annual purchasing power as a group. And that's estimated to climb even higher by 2030. So my question, Justin, is how do we turn that consumer power into ownership power?
Yeah. And to your point, Reverend Gerald, that $1.3 trillion expects it to go to $1.7 trillion, mm-hmm. right? Almost $2 trillion by 2030. Mm-hmm. You know, I think contrary to popular belief, you know, Black folks, we do a good job of saving money, mm-hmm. right? Like when we've seen Bank of America did statistics on this, we actually as a population mm-hmm. are better than the general population at saving money. Mm-hmm. But what we don't do as well, what we don't have the education, the empowerment to do more times than often is to invest, right? Because saving and investing is very different, mm-hmm. right? Saving is keeping money in the bank earning you zero or keeping money under your pillow or under your mattress, mm-hmm. right? Investing is saying, hey, let me go ahead and take the savings and go ahead and invest in this, you know, fund that's going to grow over time, invest in this primary property or investment property that's going to provide housing security as well as appreciation, right? So it's about the mindset, and it's about leveraging professionals and getting the advice and the empowerment to be able to make those decisions, right? I always tell folks that no amount of return will properly compensate you for not being able to sleep well at night. Mm-hmm. So in order to sleep well at night, we have to be educated and informed on how these things move, mm-hmm. right? How we can expect the things we can invest in to provide us with more comfort in doing so and be able to, as you mentioned, convert some of that purchasing power into investing power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I called it ownership power because I think in terms of, you know, having that old school mentality, you know, the first step in getting some type of financial basis, owning something. You know, a lot of times, this is Leimert Park, and this area is identified by a whole lot of people as my community, and they feel empowered. They feel they have a certain sense of freedom, responsibility, that they can roam, do whatever, and have a say in what goes on in our community. Yet very few of those people actually own property or own a business in our community. So I want to make that word our community mean, you know, something more than just the place where we all like to come together and meet.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I think, and to your point, right, that ownership power, especially when we talk about these historically Black, you know, residential communities, you know, for sustained ownership, that's more than just the individual that's about to acquire or that has acquired property and assets, right? Mm-hmm. It's also about that generation educating and also the next generation being in the position to receive those owned assets and maintain and sustain them going forward, right? I've seen so many situations where someone has owned a property, call it Leimert Park, for last 50 years. Mm-hmm. They pass it to their kid, $1 million value home with a, you know, $100,000 mortgage, but that person wasn't in a position to receive that even $100,000 mortgage and that $900,000 of equity. So then they're rushed to sell the property and then losing out of the ownership going forward for that family, right? So it's about not only your current place, but right. your current generation, but also educating and preparing the next generation for sustained ownership.
That was a great commercial for BWARP, the Black Wealth Attainment and Retention Program. That is exactly what you just said out of your mouth is exactly why this program came about, you know, and you know the story. Me and somebody that you know well. Matter of fact, the person who introduced me to you, Michael Lawson, mm-hmm. you know, who was my dear friend and president of Urban League, we were having this exact same conversation at my table, at my house. And from that conversation, we evolved into putting this BWARP program together. It started out as Zoom calls, you know, in partnership with the Urban League. And we were putting this information out there just to for that reason, because I personally, in my own family, in my own situation, I've seen too many times when grandma died. You know, the kids didn't know what to do, number one, to your point. They didn't have the right education. They weren't prepared. Everybody was at a different point in life. Some people were doing okay. Some people had nothing. So they couldn't come together on a way to maintain what grandma bought, you know, back in the 40s and worked and maintained. And now this property's worth over $1 million. They sold it. Everybody bought them a new car. End of story. That was why BWARP was founded. You know, that's an example of why BWARP was founded. And that's, to me, is one of the things that, as you pointed out earlier, education, yeah. knowledge, you know, and that's why we do things with young people. We have a financial literacy program called the Big Five of Money, which I told you about some time back. You know, so the young kids in high school that are getting ready to go to college can learn the basics of earning money, spending money, saving money, borrowing money, and investing and protecting money. Yeah. Just basic stuff that they don't really get
yeah.
in a high school class.
Yeah.
You know, unless they're taking economics and they ain't teaching that in South Central that much. So
yeah, and the example that you put, that the example that you laid out, that's mm-hmm. also an important reason to differentiate ownership. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they sold grandma's house, which was owning and appreciating property.
Right.
And they use those proceeds to purchase vehicles, which is a depreciating
right.
property, right? Mm-hmm. So it's also important in this educational process that not only do we talk about ownership, but also ownership and the right and appreciating assets.
Exactly. And now here's some good news. I mean, we all know what's happening, and we all know what we can do to help change it, which is what you and I are trying to do this morning. But out of the 48 million of us in America, statistically, half of those people are under the age of 30. So we have opportunity to do what you suggest. We have opportunity to get the information out there and start talking to these young people and preparing them, because it's hard buying a house in L.A. I mean, it ain't cheap, you know what I'm saying? Or it's hard to buy anything in L.A. But and I guess relatively everywhere, it's a challenge to make that first purchase, that first investment purchase. But if we can teach them about the team that you talked about earlier, about having somebody on that team that sets things up. So, and a lot of times when I look at these situations, you know, there's nobody really to blame. But if grandma had a trust, if grandma had set things up to a point where the house couldn't be sold, it had to be kept in the family. It had, you know, you rent it out and you use the proceeds, you know, to invest. And then you build those proceeds. And now you got a stream of income where every young person in that family can go to college or get some help to go to college if they need it. You know, those kinds of thought processes is what we need to do more of, in my opinion, versus grandma saying, well, my oldest daughter, she went to law school, so she know everything, and she going to take care of everything. So mm-hmm. if something happened to me, she'll handle it.
Yeah.
And all she did was set her family up to hate that person. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, you know, trust, wills, those kinds of things really help.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, the thought process is the first step, right, in terms mm-hmm. of visualizing how you want your family to continue to maintain ownership and the things we've worked hard to continue to kind of create that generational wealth. But then the second part, which I think is harder for some folks to do, is the actual implementation, right? And that's, to your point, the estate planning, right? Actually going and doing the trust and the wills, and not only, you know, getting the actual documents, right, but also then signing it so it can actually be legally binding. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have to do a better job of doing that estate planning. And, you know, just tell everyone, I love to remind everyone, like, estate planning it's not a fun thing to talk about. No one is super excited to wake up one day and put together a trust, but it is a whole lot easier to have those conversations and to do those plannings when you're healthy, as opposed to when you are much older and you don't know how many days you got left in your, you know, on the tank. It's so much more difficult. So do it now when you're younger, when you're healthy, when you're feeling good, when you're liking your husband and wife, when you're liking your kids. Do it then.
Do it then. 'Cause you're right. You're right. But, you know, what I found from a ministerial standpoint, and I've been, you know, in the ministry for quite a long time, people just don't want to talk about what we all know is going to happen. They don't want to plan to not be here. And if you're going to work your whole life and contribute to your family in whichever way that you took, maybe it's just wisdom you gave them, whatever you gave them, you still want that wisdom to live on. You know, you don't want it to just go away when you go away. So if you put something in front of them that opens up the opportunity to sustain whatever it is you've built, I don't care how small or how big, that's a win. Not just for you, but for the community as a whole.
Yeah. Now, I'm a big believer in expect the best, but prepare for the worst.
Right. Right. And you know, again, you know, we sometimes get pigeonholed into a situation where when people look at the black population in America as a whole, you know, we're not perceived as being super progressive in a lot of ways. And some of that is because of the situations we've had to navigate through to get wherever we are today. So there's a lot of us who still live below the poverty line, you know, much more than our counterparts. But when you look at the total population, one of the things that people in L.A., and I have this conversation with my friends a lot, don't realize that 60% of us still live in the South, still live in what they call the Bible Belt. So that progressiveness that we enjoy here on the West Coast. And by the way, only 10% of black Americans live in what we call Western states, you know, California, Arizona, only 10%. So we're doing what we're doing and we're saying, okay, we're doing okay. We're making some moves here in LA, and we get this illusion in our mind that everybody everywhere is having that same success. And that is not the case. And that's why these types of conversations are important. You know, so taking that in consideration, we still have a few minutes here before we have to go forward. Justin, I want to get into the most common investment strategies, you know, that people can, you know, starting with, you know, the buy and hold, whatever those strategies are, you know, that's what I'd like to talk about so people can get a feeling for what there is available to them and how you walk them through and put them in a position to participate.
Yeah, I definitely cover that. So, you know, traditional investment, when people talk about traditional investments, they're usually referring to, you know, stocks and bonds, right? And when they talk about having a portfolio, having a diversified portfolio, a lot of times talking about having a mix between certain between stocks and bonds. And, you know, investing and gambling can run pretty similar, right? But how they run similar is just based off how long you are allowing that money to work for you, right? In the short term, the stock market, the bond market can be very exciting and move a lot, right? I consider that kind of gambling in terms of putting money to work one day and expect and then needing to have access to that money within 30 days, within 6 months, right? That's gambling, right? But over the long term, right, investing performance is very, very boring and much more predictable, right? Over the past 70 years, for rolling 5-year periods, there's never been a situation where a 60% stock, 40% bond portfolio has lost money. Right. Over a 5-year rolling period, over a 10-year rolling period. Right. Mm-hmm. But over a 1-year period, plenty of times. Right. Plenty of times. In 2022, a 60% stock, 40% bond portfolio was down around, you know, between like 15-17%. Right.
I can testify.
Right. So, you know, the most important part of investing is only invest what you can allow work for you for multiple years. Right. At least 3+ years. Mm-hmm. Right. And then for funds that are under that, where you need access to within 3 years, putting that money into a high yield money market account or a CD or things like that can be very helpful in being able to still earn a return. Right. Some of these returns right now for these liquid money market accounts and CDs that are maturing within a year, are in the 4 or 5% territory, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you put your safe money. So it's about having a combination of safe money mm-hmm. under a year and the more aggressive money for, you know, 3+ years of investing. And working with someone that can help you tailor make that to your specific situation is super important.
Yeah, you know, I used, when I was, first job I really had, a guy was telling me that, you know, if you want to save some money, or how much money can you save? He said, just keep track of everything you spend every day. And at the end of the month, look back and see how much you wasted, and that money you could be saving and investing. We're going to continue this conversation with Justin B. Lacey, Senior VP at Merrill Lynch, when we come forward here on KVLA Talk 1580.
A safe place to go loud. Loud. A great place for progressive politics. KVLA Talk 1580.
I'm Tyree Gwynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. Over 16,000 pounds of ground beef is being recalled due to possible E. coli contamination. On Wednesday, the USDA announced the recall. Beef was shipped to Walmart stores nationwide. Affected beef is from the company Cargill Meat Solutions, and Pacific Recall products can be found online. The state of Maryland has awarded a wrongly convicted black man $3 million for the 31 years he spent in prison before being exonerated. 63-year-old Gary Washington was released from prison in 2018. The city's state's attorney's office dismissed the charges against him in 2019, and a circuit court judge later vacated Washington's convictions. The black police chief in Tulsa, Oklahoma, is stepping down. Police Chief Wendell Franklin has announced he will retire from the department effective July 31st. He's taking a job in the private sector as a director and corporate security. He says it's the perfect fit for him. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wayne on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Hey, it's Dean Sharp. How does 3 months of free electricity and a lifetime of energy savings sound? Well, it's yours when you go solar with Sunlux. Learn more at sunlux.com, sunlux.com.
KVLA Talk 1580 is the fastest growing talk radio station in Southern California, home to 50,000 watts and an audience reach of 12 million listeners. KVLA Talk 1580 is a pioneer for black audio content, including our groundbreaking $2 million climate justice campaign and the most loyal, influential audience. According to an independent research study by the polling firm Iveterus, for the second consecutive year, KVLA Talk 1580 is the most trustworthy, reliable, and credible news source for black audiences and beyond in Southern California. Let KVLA Talk 1580 power your advertising dollars. Our omni-channel custom marketing solutions are specifically tailored to connect with your ideal target audience. We leverage audio, podcasts, streaming, digital, social media, and local activations to get your message out to the black community. Get in touch with our advertising team today at advertising@KBLA1580.com. That's advertising@KBLA1580.com. KBLA 1580, we've got your black. KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580 believes in community empowerment through the arts. Tia Chucha Central Cultural is on a mission to transform community in the Northeast San Fernando Valley and beyond through ancestral knowledge, the arts, literacy, and creative engagement. The Northeast San Fernando Valley has a population of about 500,000, the size of the city of Oakland, yet it has no bookstores, art galleries, or full-fledged cultural spaces until Tia Chucha's opened its doors in 2001. Founded by renowned poet and activist Luis Rodriguez, Tia Chucha's Cultural Center provides a year-round free or low-cost arts and literacy bilingual intergenerational programming in mural painting, music, dance, writing, visual arts, healing art sessions, and healing talking circles. Activities also include Mexica, Aztec dance, indigenous cosmology, philosophy, and 2 weekly open mic nights, one in Spanish, the other in English. In addition, they host author readings, film screenings, and art exhibits. To express yourself, heal yourself, attend an event, or volunteer, please visit www.tiachucha.org. That's TIACHUCHA.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
Environmental justice is racial justice.
Environmental justice is social justice.
This is KBLA Talk 1580.
The thing no one tells you about periods is that your flow changes every day, and so should your tampon size. Tampax has 5 absorbencies to match your changing flow. If it hurts to remove, go down a size. If it leaks, go up a size. Only Tampax has a leak guard braid to help give you up to 100% leak and odor-free protection. All-day comfort and protection for under $5 a month. Based on average U.S. consumer usage at manufacturer's suggested price. However, pricing is at the sole discretion of the retailer. Excludes 8-count.
KBLA Talk 1580. We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA Talk 1580, connecting you with services and solutions. Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles is a nonprofit law firm that protects and advances the rights of the most underserved, leveling the playing field and ensuring that everyone can have access to the justice system. Every year, LAFLA provides free, high-quality legal services to more than 100,000 people living in poverty across greater Los Angeles. Their unique combination of neighborhood offices, self-help centers at courthouses, and domestic violence clinics puts Legal Aid Foundation of Los Angeles on the front lines in vulnerable communities and at the forefront of change. LAFLA's expert team of attorneys, paralegals, and support staff works to provide direct representation, offer counsel and advice, provide referrals, and educate the community about their legal rights through workshops and seminars. With locations all over LA, you can access their services or volunteer to help no matter where you live. And if you have an urgent issue, call 213-235-0060. That's 213-235-0060. To get legal help, make a donation, or volunteer, visit lafla.org. lafla.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
This is Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith.
Gerald Smith.
A spiritual and scientific evidence-based self-help program on KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome back, KBLA Talk 1580 congregation. You're listening to Urban Family Focus, and being the first Saturday of the month, you're listening to a financial literacy segment we call BWARP Live, the Black Wealth Attainment and Retention Program. And our guest this morning, someone who's been with us before and who's very knowledgeable and just inspiring to be around, young brother doing his thing, Justin B. Lacey, who is the Senior VP at Merrill Lynch. And we're talking about investing for yourself, but not by yourself. And we have a caller, Leroy, on line one. Leroy, do you have a question for Justin?
Greetings, greetings, and good morning. Can you hear me clearly, sir?
I can hear you clearly, and thank you for being with us again, Leroy.
Yes, man. You know, I want to say once again, exceptional show, sir. Mm-hmm. I did want to ask, had your guest heard of Amos Wilson's Blueprint for Black Power or our sister Maggie Anderson's Our Black Year and the Empowerment Experiment, and if so, how to implement them to help people become more economically literate as well as financially literate. But my real question is for you, Reverend Gerald. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you could perhaps swing, maybe if not this year, next year, getting on one of those State of the Black America panels where you and this guest and the J. King brother, mm-hmm, and a whole bunch of other folks that's economically and financially literate be on stage and help us learn about our ignorance relative to economics, unlike other communities building Koreatown and Chinatown and so forth and so on. And I'm going to hang up, and I did want to ask about Looper for Black Power and Empowerment Experiment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Leroy. And to answer your question, that's exactly why we're doing this segment. That's exactly why BWARP came into existence. And with the proper amount of support and attention, Parkside has every intention to have live events and conferences and classes for our young people to push that literacy program forward. As far as the people you mentioned, I'm not aware. Justin?
No, I'm not aware of them either.
Justin, so you caught us. We're ignorant about those. They sound like this very provocative and progressive information that we should all know. So, Leroy, if you're still on the line, you want to tell us what those things are? Or did he go?
Listening to you.
I got you.
I'll try to do this in a minute or less. Maggie Anderson did something called Our Black Year. It's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
and you can check it out and look it up. And she has a program called the Empowerment Experiment, where for 1 year she had her family do nothing but spend their money with quality black-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. And it tells her journey. She has several TED Talks and conferences and the whole nine. But 20 years prior to Maggie Anderson, a gentleman by the name of Professor Amos Wilson, who I consider the most comprehensive solution-oriented scholar on the African-American experience since 1965, wrote a book called Blueprint for Black Power. And the same information that she discovered in her research method he had already presented, which is basically black people have discretionary income, that and we only spend about 3% of our discretionary income with quality black-owned businesses. If we went to 5%, then black business finance would double. If we went to 10%, then we would have over 1 million jobs that we could provide just for ourselves. And if we went that 10% went to a quarter, where we spent a quarter of our discretionary income with quality black-owned businesses, we would have so much generate so much revenue economically through servicing one another and our own needs and solving our own problems, we would have to hire from the outside. And so that's what made me ask that, because most times financial literacy experts do not necessarily translate that knowledge into economic literacy for the upliftment of communities like a Koreatown or a Chinatown, or and we keep going down the line and you understand what I'm saying.
I appreciate you sharing that. And while you were talking, I'm not 100% sure, but I would bet Tavis has probably talked about both of these people at some point in his career. And but I, you know, I was not aware of what you said. And Leroy, before you get off the line, I would appreciate it if you would let our engineer Odell have your contact information, because I want to reach out to you.
Yeah. But I will say the numbers are staggering in terms of the amount of times that currency exchange between black hands before it leaves the community compared to other races out there. And we are at a huge deficit too. So to the point of the Maggie Andersons, the Amos Wilsons, and to your point, Leroy, there's a lot of opportunities that we have as black people to cycle more dollars within our community that will lead to a lot more financial advancement for folks within our community. So I'm definitely going to read up on this, but thank you for sharing this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brother Leroy. Make sure you leave your information with Odell so you and I can talk offline. Hey, you know, that kind of takes me in a direction that I wasn't necessarily going to go this morning, but for sure, you know, that trillion, that 1.7 trillion that we were going to be working with pretty soon, that's significant. And there are a lot of black folks doing really, really, really well. A bunch of them. Enough of them to whereas if all of them, by some miracle, decided to put 10% of their wealth in a pot, we probably would have enough money to do some things as a community for ourselves and not have to worry about whether we're going to get redlined or whether they're going to treat us differently than somebody else and getting a loan and those kinds of things. You know, but there's something, and I... it's a show for a different time, but there's something that prevents that from happening because it can happen. But what he was alluding to, those very things do happen in the Korean community. Those very things do happen in among other minorities. I was in an investment club at one point in my life, and we talked about the Korean community and how they have this thing called the key. And basically what they do is that 10 brothers get together in a room and everybody has $5,000, and they collectively put $5,000 in a pool, and that $5,000 passes from one hand to the other every month, you know, and it feeds into their business. And, you know, so every month you get that little, you know, every 5 months, if it's five of you, you get that little boom into your business that helps you make it. And those are the kinds of things that they do. And those are the kinds of things, and not that we don't do them, but we don't do them at the same level and at the same frequency.
Yeah, and then, you know, that kind of thing has me thinking about, you know, these community development foundation institutions, right? I mean, you know, access to capital is the biggest equalizer out there in terms of financial viability, mm-hmm. right? And no institutions understand the specific needs of communities, and for our conversation, black communities, then these local, you know, community development foundations. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that my firm, Bank of America, which is, you know, a behemoth in the banking space, mm-hmm. we have a huge commitment to these community development foundations. I believe we have contributed or have committed $43 million to 22 different minority depository institutions. And that's crucial because those are the leaders. Those are the organizations that can really understand the unique needs of the communities and be able to put that capital to work in those communities to provide advancement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have some great organizations here in town. One that I was affiliated with and still support, the Urban League and, you know, Brotherhood Crusade. And we have some people that
Vermont Slauson.
Vermont Slauson, been around a long time. They don't get the cachet that the other ones get, but from a business perspective, they're doing a lot of great work in the community, helping black businesses sustain themselves and even become a business in the first place. So they're out there, but even though they're out there, the attitude, I'll use that term, the attitude of the community is not to lock arms. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll take the assistance, we'll take the help, we get. But as a community, it's not like what we do. Mm-hmm. And you look back at in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, we built a lot of communities in this country because we had to. We were isolated. This is your part of town. Stay in it. Don't go. So we had to build our own grocery stores and, you know, like what happened in Oklahoma and those kinds of things. But that happened everywhere. There was a lot of places like that. And we owned everything from the schools to the banks to everything. But somehow that same energy doesn't exist where we come together and make those type of moves.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're going to get back on point here about investing and talk about some things like, you know, growth alternatives in the market and why some people fear investing and just talk about the basics that you want people to know. Just get them started on the right track of growing their wealth here on Urban Family Focus when we come forward here with Justin Lacey.
Healthy wife, healthy home, and a healthy community. More of Urban Family Focus with Gerald Smith when we come forward on KVLA Talk 1580.
To help combat climate change, LADWP is helping neighborhoods have better access to electric vehicles by awarding nearly $130 million in EV rebates to customers just like you. From big savings on used EVs to building new charging plazas, LADWP is charging ahead to help all Angelenos experience the benefits of EVs. Get rebates of up to $4,000 for a used EV and $1,750 for a charger. Learn more at LADWP.com/EV. That's LADWP.com/EV. Tips to help improve your credit score in 2024. Establishing credit is an important key to achieving financial health, but building a credit history from scratch can feel challenging since you need credit to build credit. First, what does it mean to build credit? All consumers have a score between 300 and 850. You want your score to be as high as possible as lenders look at your credit score to make loan and credit decisions. A good credit score shows you have a track record of borrowing money responsibly. Remember, it's never too late to build or rebuild your credit. This segment is sponsored by JPMorgan Chase & Company. LA residents, it's planting season and the perfect time to get shade trees growing around your home. LADWP and City Plants are giving every resident up to 7 free trees. That's right, 7 free trees delivered right to your door. Trees are great for the environment, help improve air quality, and can help you save on your bill when you use less air conditioning to stay cool indoors. Learn more at LADWP.com/free trees. That's LADWP.com/free trees.
Going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin, I know it's gonna be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and moisturizes deep into my skin with its super rich creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
What's wrong?
My travel rewards card didn't earn enough miles for my vacation.
Are you crying? Are you crying because of that other credit card?
Uh-huh.
Well, switch to the Capital One Venture card. Venture lets you redeem miles on any travel purchase.
Really?
Yep, and you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every single day. The Capital One Venture card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is KBLA Talk 1580, where everybody is somebody and nobody is a stranger. You belong here.
In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes from the top down, screaming out money in
the bank. Welcome back, Urban Family Focus. My young brother's bouncing over here. He liked that. He likes that. We're talking with Justin P. Lacy, Senior VP for Merrill Lynch, and we're talking about investing for yourself and not by yourself. And we took a couple of segues that are good, talking about our community and what we can do and some of the great things we are doing. And a lot of times we get this illusion that certain things aren't as important to us as a community as they are to other communities. And the truth is, when it comes to money, you know, Black Americans are 36% of Black Americans really believe that money is important, and they focus on what they can do to not just earn money, but to save that money and put it to good use. Where the general population, only 28% of those people have that propensity to feel that way about money. And the same with culture. We base a lot of value on our cultural activities and being a part of that segment, and community is very important to us as well. So I don't want people to think that as a people we're not engaged, because we are. And if you consider what we've been through, we are doing fantastic. We're doing that thing, as the young people would say. So but before we run out of time here, because it's getting close to 8 o'clock, Justin, I want to make sure that you give people a couple of investment strategies that you feel will work for them, and that kind of the most common ones that you start people off in.
Yeah, but before we move to that, really quickly, for a plug for those statistics, mm-hmm. right? Those statistics that Bank of America did, mm-hmm. interviewing thousands and thousands of people across the nation, both Black as well as the general population. Mm-hmm. Another statistic they added in there, which I thought was the most interesting one, is that the Black community is 2.5 times more likely than the general population to want to strategize on how they can help and support other people in their family, mm-hmm. right? Because we do, a lot of us have the onus of not only, you know, needing to take care of our own immediate family, mm-hmm. our significant other, our kids, mm-hmm. but also our parents and our brothers and our uncles and nieces, things of that sort, right? And we did this study so advisors at Merrill Lynch knew how to best engage with the Black population to understand what ticks for them, mm-hmm. and what they're thinking about and how we can best serve them. So love the statistics and love the fact that we spent the time to research and understand as much as we possibly can our population. As relates to investment strategies, right? So we talked about having a long, you know, having an understanding to invest based off time horizon, mm-hmm. have very safe investments for your short-term bucket for assets you may need in the next couple years, and then being able to invest in like the stock market and the bond market for, you know, your assets you won't need to touch for 3+ years, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about dollar cost averaging. And I feel like this is a term that some people have heard of, some haven't, right? Mm-hmm. Dollar cost averaging basically is saying that, hey, regardless of what happens in the market, the stock market, the bond market, I'm going to keep on putting the same dollar amount in every single week or every single 2 weeks, every month, whatever it is, without fail, right? Mm-hmm. And so people are like, oh, like how does that work? Am I doing that? A lot of people are doing that if they're working at companies and they're participating in like a 401k plan, right? 401k plan, regardless of if the stock market is up or stock market is down, most people are having their paycheck, their 5%, their 10% going into their investment account, mm-hmm. right? And that allows you to be able to take a lot of emotion from investing, right? And the reason why is that it changes the way how you feel about, you know, stock movement and like the and performance movement of these markets, right? Because if the market goes up, that's great. You look at your statement and you see the higher statement. You're glad you put the money in, right? But if the market is going down, right, and prices for investments are lower, right? You can actually think of it as a positive, right? Because now, right, if the things you're investing in drop by 25% and you're putting the same dollar amount in, the same $2,000 every single month, now you're buying 25% more of those, right? So you're able to gain more ownership when the prices actually drop. It allows you to feel like you're at Walmart and you got a 25% off sale, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing that eventually these things are probably going to work itself out over time, right? So that's important about dollar cost averaging. It allows people emotionally to think about fluctuation a lot better, where they say, hey, if things go up, that's great. My statement's going to go up. But if things go down, great. I'll be able to buy more than I would have if things were already – if things stayed at elevated levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's – when I do read things from the big boys that we all know, you know, the Buffetts and all the people who make a whole lot of money, they all say when the market's down, that's when you grab as much as you can grab, because as the statistics we talked about earlier, it's going to turn. It's going to come back.
Yeah. Most of the money you make in investing is made during bad markets. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel like it at the time.
Got
right?
you.
And yeah, if we could treat more of our investment portfolios like a 401k, where we, you know, continue to contribute to our 401k, but also had other accounts that we consistently added to every 2 weeks, every month, mm-hmm. we'd be in a position to build a lot more wealth. And right. And that's the reason why, you know, a lot of folks, when they retire from their companies, the only assets that they have was the house that they purchased. They never wanted to sell because it provided them with housing security and the 401k that they continued to, you know, contribute to every single year. So if we had more assets like IRAs and brokerage accounts and annuities, you know, that we consistently added to each month, we'd be able to have a whole lot more assets and net worth to show for once we're close to retirement.
Yeah. Well, you know, we don't have that much time left to spend, Justin. We got about 5 minutes before we have to get out of here. And, you know, despite the optimism, you know, the momentum, you know, as we talked about, you know, there's some Black Americans that are really participating in this affluency that this country can provide. But for a lot of us, there's still some structural barriers or financial barriers, if you will, that keeps us a little fearful or keeps us from moving forward. So when you're meeting with people, when you're, you know, meeting with a young couple trying to get started, what are some of the things that they share with you that are stress points or that plagues them from getting started and putting their investment portfolio together?
Yeah. I mean, one, I think, you know, a lot of folks are taught that like the first major decision you need to have is to own a home. Mm-hmm. Right. So helping these young couples put together a strategy for home ownership is super important. Right. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, it's, you know, the general fears about investing, which involves education, allows to and also like, you know, puts me in a position where I'm going to help them start investing, but invest slowly. Right. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to be in a situation where we put all their money to work and there happens to be a correction. Then they are sour from the stock market investing for the rest of their lives. Right. So it's about meeting people where they are mm-hmm. and understanding what's highest priority for them, addressing what's highest priority to them at that point in time, and then be able to transition to other areas of value add within their financial life.
You know, that home ownership, you know, that's my hot button. You know, if I could tell anybody anything, buy something that where there's some equity to be attained. And you know, if you own income property, for example, you own a small apartment building, there are going to be times when everybody don't pay their rent. There are going to be times when the plumbing goes out and this goes out and you're going to have to come up with some money. But over the long haul, you know, when you invest $1 million or whatever you invest in an apartment building, a 3 or 4 unit building, 10, 15 years from now, that unit's going to be worth $2 million.
Yeah.
You know, and how can you save $1 million?
Yeah.
So the what you have to go through is worth the equity that you're building. And yeah. A lot of people, you know, just, you know, they look at the immediate gratification piece and they don't want to sacrifice and go through those ups and downs. But that's how you make it.
And to carry that point, do not let interest rates dissuade you from buying great properties, right? Mm-hmm. If you find an awesome place for you to be able to purchase for a primary residential property and it makes sense, you can be able to float the monthly costs, mm-hmm. get it, right? What I always tell people is you marry the asset and you date the rate, right?
You.
And when opportunity presents
rate
itself,
changes.
Exactly,
yeah.
Rate changes, but also you can find you can potentially in the future refinance to a lower rate. Mm-hmm. But you always, if you find an amazing asset, marry it,
right?
Understand that the rate you can potentially get out of in the future.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that I talk to on a daily basis. Oh, the rates are too high. I'm not looking to buy nothing now. But I remember the first property I bought, I think it was 1980, interest rates were 11%.
Mm.
And now they're crying about 5 and 6 and 7. I mean, they were 11%. But if I hadn't bought that first piece of property then, I would not be where I am today as far as property ownership goes.
Yep. And, yeah. And that's why knowledge is so important.
Absolutely. So we only got a minute left, Justin. Tell people how they, you know, the website, where they can go get information from Merrill Lynch, how they can get in touch with you. We got 1 minute to do that.
If you type in Justin Lacey, Merrill Lynch, you'll see my information.
Okay.
But yeah, my email is jblacey@ml.com. But yeah, you type that into Google. You know, my name, Justin Lacey, Merrill Lynch. You'll find all my contact information, my website, LinkedIn. And yeah, feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to connect with anyone, whether they're in a position to be a client or not. I'm all about investing in my community and sharing perspective and advice that will help them wherever they are in their financial journey.
My advice to you who just heard that information is to take advantage of it. This is a bad brother. Justin, thank you so much for coming down and spending some more time with us here on Urban Family Focus and BWARP Live.